Blog Talk Radio.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountains should crumble, as you stand by me. And darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand now. Stand by me. Stand by me.
Hey there, this is Here Be Monsters, and it is, holy gee, it's Wednesday, it's 60th day in, and tomorrow will mark the second month anniversary for Occupy Wall Street. I cut into the opening song. I think the recording must be getting pretty awful. And before I bring today's guest on, I have a little introduction and catch up to do. I am going to open with an incredible quote that was I was reminded of today online, and it goes like this: each time a person stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. And crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, these ripples build a current that can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. Bobby Kennedy said that. He gave us the lessons in physics that is a dynamic in politics. Can't you please show up and back up? The 99% near you are occupying. Please do. I'm Gwendolyn H. Berry on the Atlantic side of Florida. My guest today is two. His name is Brian Stanton. And I'm going to let him tell you exactly who he is. I'm going to bring him on right now. And just as soon as the microphone opens, Brian, can you hear me?
I hear you fine. I'm sorry, I was waiting for you to speak first. It's a pleasure. It's been a little while.
It has been a little while. I know you've been really busy. You're working you're a part of Occupy Fort Lauderdale, not Miami, correct?
Correct. Correct. Though I've attended some of Occupy Miami. They had an environmental activist type of protest several weeks ago, and I attended that and some of their general assemblies. It's definitely, it's a younger crowd than the crowd at Occupy Fort Lauderdale.
Occupy Palm Beach County crowd is a mix of many different in all ages. We're kind of lucky that way. Did you know that our crowd up here is the only Occupy group in the country so far that has not had an arrest? And Brian, I can't tell if we're doing something right or we're doing something wrong.
Well, I don't think Occupy Fort Lauderdale has had any arrest. Oops, no, I take that back. They had a couple. But nothing official.
This was, I believe it was ABC News came out with that report, first off. I'd like to explain to the folks listening that this is a everyday occurrence here. We do hear the monsters in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street. We are a boycott of the MSM liars, part of a drumline of radio shows on Blog Talk, including Pinko the Bear, Wild Wild Left, Radio or Not with Nicole Sander, and Progressive News Network with Rick Spisak, which are all on Blog Talk Radio. And Here Be Monsters is actually sponsored by a group of writers at RoundTreeNumber7.com blog. And very uber liberal crowd over there, sort of like the rest of the people listen most of the time. How have you been, Brian?
Well, Logan, where is the encampment for Occupy Palm Beach?
It's over on, it's at the end of Clematis Street, behind the fountain there, in the grass, sort of to the side of Bradley's, right along the I forget the name of the drive that is right there at the Intercoastal. In fact, it's looking right at Palm Beach. It's kind of a little uppity crowd, I guess. They're in a beautiful patch of very soft Augustine grass, and they're doing a wonderful job over there. People go
and they have
to
our website, OccupyPalmBeach.org.
Uh-huh, Occupy Palm Beach County is what it is, actually.
Okay, OccupyPalmBeachCounty.org. Okay, I'll have to look it up.
And it gets mixed up with Occupy Lake Worth a lot because the bigger amount of the crowd is out of Lake Worth.
Okay. Is there a separate Occupy Lake Worth?
No, everybody is together. It's just that we started out separate and we came together after a couple of weeks, a couple of months ago. So it's basically, it's merged now. Let me ask you a question, something we've never talked about or done here. It's to say, you know, Brian, you're a very knowledgeable fella, and I've read your information on Facebook, but basically, I'd really love to know, have you give a brief bio on yourself? I'd like to also acknowledge all the folks in the chat room. Thank you guys for being here with us today, and hopefully people will get involved in the conversation as we go on. But, Brian, what do you do for a living right now?
Oh, geez. I sell email marketing, online marketing. I work for a company, MediaBigger.com. And actually, I do a fair amount of work that's related to political marketing, either targeted marketing to capture signups on online petitions for various political advocacy groups, or marketing a particular candidate. So I do a certain amount of work in that, as well as traditional advertising of products and service. So my background's very weird. I have a bachelor's, double major with physics and math, master's in physics, but I worked for years after, back in 1990, we had a recession then caused by the savings and loans crisis. And that was caused by deregulation done by Ronald Reagan at that time, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that, you know, people were promising me work in physics, couldn't find any. I ended up going into the financial services sector, which is the sector that caused all this. I mean, I worked as a stockbroker, an equity trader, and at one point an equity analyst before I got out of it. I have a very diversified background, and I'm also a political activist. I run the Broward County chapter of Progressive Democrats of America. Most progressives I meet boast about the fact that they were lifelong progressives. I have to admit there was a period of time where I was very conservative. So, I mean, I've dramatically switched views as I saw what was going on, primarily in part due to the financial services industry.
Gotcha. So. Well, we were having a little conversation that was going on last night. All through the weekend, I kept saying this. My sister and I were keeping tabs on all the live feeds, the live stream and Ustream and Denver and over in Portland, and waiting on seeing what was going to happen to Oakland. And didn't really get anything out of Albany, but I'll tell you, it was really quite a bit from Portland and from Denver. That was something to see. And then and I kept saying the whole time, and I guess you were coming to the same conclusion, and also David Williams Krell, he was saying the same thing, which is that this is a coordinated effort. This is like a countrywide sweep.
Yeah, it was very obvious because they were using the same modus operandi in every single case, initially claiming that there was curfews related to zoning issues and so forth to sort of make it a hassle for people to set up camp or as a reason to arrest, claiming there are safety and health issues. I mean, every single raid happened typically 1-2 in the morning when everyone's asleep and no journalists are around. Every time it was a massive amount of force, a large quantity of police officers in riot gear. Yes, with exhibiting brutality, trying to be as intimidating as possible. It's almost very surreal for this to happen in this country. You know, and what's really a shame... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, last night on Keith Olbermann, he and Michael Moore were discussing the fact that this is Mayor Kwan dropped in an interview with someone night before last that she was in a conference call with 18 other mayors coordinating an effort to bring these occupies to close. And that the White House, the Justice Department, was coordinating those conference calls.
Yeah, some unnamed figure in the Department of Justice, the DOJ, has been helping to coordinate the logistics of all of this, giving them steady advice on what to do with Homeland Security and the FBI. The FBI helped structure the press releases, but they pretty much gave hands off and let the local law enforcement in each area do its thing under the direction of the mayor. Yeah, but I mean, it's very disturbing. Pretty much most of the worst, most egregious mayors that assaulted Occupy are Democrats. You know, so much for liberals. That's our liberal establishment. So, Mayor Kwan is a Democrat. The mayor of Salt Lake City, who shut his encampment down, Democrat. The mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, Democrat. And you go through it bit by bit. Major metropolitan areas tend to get Democratic mayors, and you tend to get more conservative people in the more rural and urban areas. That's just the way it is. When people are on top of each other, they tend to be more liberal in outlook. They tend to elect a Democrat. But
that's
both parties
true.
Are pretty much two sides of the same coin. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Glenn.
No, you're quite right. There's been most of these cities. There is what is supposed to be a liberal administration engaging with the occupied group, the General Assembly.
Yes.
I just read on Crooks and Liars before we came on the show that the largest General Assembly that has ever been just took place, I guess, last night out on the West Coast. Hang on, I'm looking for the information. But they over on Crooks and Liars now, they have an Occupy America dedicated section. And it was, well, here's an interesting thing, too. Now they have security people from the group that owns Brookfield Properties Group, have security guards or whacking huts or mercs, whatever you want to call them there. And the person who was Diane Sweet, writer for Crooks and Liars, actually overheard him calling someone a faggot, one of the encampment people, or the security people, calling one of the encampment people, or I guess Scotty Park now is just a park with a lot of occupiers in it. He basically was just, you know, calling epithets at people. They're trying some kind of incident. Is basically what's going on.
Trying to stir up violence and be provocateurs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's typical. I mean, I did come across a Daily Kos article which suggested that at the end of the general strike in Oakland, California, I mean, there was some violence by which the mainstream media called anarchists. I mean, black hooded people, black masked people sort of appeared out of nowhere and smashed windows and got the movement in a bit of trouble. And two of them were discovered to be undercover cops. So,
yeah.
I mean, it does seem to be a deliberate attempt to discredit the movement.
It is. Well, yeah. you've got to figure that's going to go on. But to you, you know, and the exact thing he said was, your fly is unzipped, faggot. That was the quote. It's, you know, out of an ignorant idiot like that, you know, you can walk away from that kind of fact most of the time. But when it's, you know, they're already, I mean, Occupy Boston received a temporary restraining order today, so they're staying in place. But yesterday they came streaming down out of Trinity Place back to Zuccotti Park. And did you see the video? They were chanting Almost Home, and they had,
yeah,
each of them had copies of Billings' order in their hands, and stacks of copies were passed out. And did you see the video on that where they, the one young lady, the cop just, he didn't use his hand. He used his fist to smack her in the face.
Yeah, I saw that. That was terrible. Yeah, no, it's very brutish behavior. Yeah,
it's that kind of stuff that is going to I'm asking and saying with you to you, don't you think it's this kind of behavior that is actually going to bring more people out of their homes, off of their barca loungers, and to stand with the rest the occupiers in many places in this country?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, first of all,
they're using techniques that aren't new at all. They're kind of old. And I think what's ironic is that they're using, people that were glued to their computers watching Al Jazeera, because it's not allowed to be, this government won't allow cable throughout the country to carry it, were caught watching the entire uprising in Egypt. And basically, I mean, that was more souped-up violent, more graphic, but essentially really the same type of tactics. I mean, Mubarak kept on hitting those people violently at nighttime, you know, the dead of night, with, you know, people on horseback with swords or people coming and throwing rocks, but always late at night trying to really crush the people on an emotional level, get them feeling disparaged, make them want to give up and go home. And it didn't happen. The crowds just got stronger, 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 and eventually they forced Mubarak out. You think this country would learn a lesson from it? Not at all. I mean, the people are going to pretty much respond. It's going to make them stronger, and the movement's not going to go away. If anything, they've added more fat to the fire. So I think the movement's going to continue to do very well, regardless of what. That was the worst thing this government could have done.
Well,
a concerted effort to destroy it. There must be a certain type of arrogance on the top level that Well, it can happen there, but it can't happen over here. And that's a mistake. Because really,
well,
people are people,
right,
and we're all
now,
the 99%.
At the same time, we actually have there's a coordination between us and Western Europe, so the larger cities where this is in Dublin on
right.
Dame Street, in front of St. Paul's Cathedral. We just pinned eviction notices on all the tents today. They're doing it in Spain, in Madrid, and another town. And of course, but nobody will dare go into the streets of Greece. I feel badly for the Greeks. I really do. Those people are in such despair.
Yeah.
What's been done to them? It's unconscionable.
They want to do the same thing to all of us. So I mean, really.
Right, and it's all called austerity measures. Yes.
Yes.
It's the same thing they did during that triggered. Actually, after the stock market fell in 29, the austerity measures, and then the Great Depression sparked in.
Yeah.
And somebody brought up the other day where MacArthur had gone into Washington. They had what was it called, Brian?
The Senator McCarthy era?
General MacArthur was ordered by Herbert Hoover to go in and break down the shanty that the campment that was set up in Washington before the White House by the soldiers of World War I who came for their money when the austerity measures began and said, "We're not leaving until we get it." And he sent General MacArthur, and they burned him out.
I recall reading about that somewhere, but I don't recall the details. You're fresher up on that one than I am.
Well, there's so many alignments, but the point I'm making is that there's just a lot more people involved, a lot more places. Do you know that? Occupy group.
Yeah. I mean, the reason's primarily the same universally. I mean, over the years, we've been headed, I mean, globally, all governments have been becoming more autocratic, absolutist. We're becoming more like China in a way. I mean, China is not, they call themselves communism, but, you know, these days, the word doesn't really mean much because it's been so disparaged and abused like socialism. You know, it's a brutally efficient capitalist country that has no democracy. Has zero democracy. Because, frankly, with capitalism, you don't need it. Capitalism itself is inherently undemocratic, especially when you have a concentration of wealth with a small handful of people. And wealth automatically translates to political power because you can buy politicians, which is what we're seeing. So, I mean, the world governments are pretty much controlled by the 1%, the elite that have the majority of the wealth.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean,
agreed.
And it's great.
What's more fascinating is that the world, the 99%, most of the people are beginning to realize, wake that reality. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely sort of a social consciousness that has awakened throughout every country.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people have sort of had it, and they've become aware. It used to be if you suggested class warfare, you know, you were a horrible socialist and quiet. The one great thing about the Occupy movement is now you can talk about class warfare and, you know, not be accused of that because it is a real issue.
How are we going to pin the Obama administration for its coordinating efforts in this case? Just, like, keep talking about it or what?
I think somebody already in the Department of Justice let it slip. And, you know, I mean, despite what people think about conspiracy theories, real conspiracy theories are next to impossible because people typically can't keep their mouths shut and things leak out. I mean, inevitably one of the mayors will say something and, you know, more and more awareness and more details will come out of it. I mean, can we punish the Obama administration over it? It depends on what the public thinks. I mean, the Occupy movement represents the 99%. The American population, for the most part, when polled, agrees with the Occupy movement's goal 70% of the time. The media has done such a good job of disparaging the movement and confusing people on its message that it's hard to say where it's going to go. I mean, I've come across some people wondering, are we going to perhaps have a country that's going to use martial law or become an extreme police state to quell, you know, the uprising, the Occupy movement, if it gets worse and worse? I highly doubt it, because we have become more civilized. I mean, if you go back into 1970, when the Kent State massacre occurred, National Guardsmen climbing up tower shot at students. I mean, that sent a shockwave throughout the country, you know, like people have never seen before. They weren't used to that. And so, you know, I don't think people are going to get used to it now. If suddenly National Guards came out and shot down a bunch of Occupy protesters, I can't see it happening. You know, I don't think the country would be able to take it. You know, but we have a very effective media machine, you know, that's kept people complacent for years and years and years. It's becoming less effective thanks to the internet. So we'll see how it goes. It depends on the ability of the movement to educate people. The more people that are educated about what's going on, the better. But it's very important that the Obama administration get exposed.
As a media marketing person, as someone with PR experience, how would you tell the average Occupy individual who's giving their time and their effort to this movement, how would you tell them to go about educating people or bringing up the awareness in the community?
By talking to other people, by using social media. I think they're doing a fairly good job now. They just need greater reach.
Yeah.
You know, they just need greater reach. I mean, right now the TV set has greater reach than the Occupy people.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's...
We still have
yet to see an Occupy camp grow the size of, say, all the Egyptians that were on Tahrir Square. We're not quite there yet. You know, but I'm optimistic. I'm very optimistic about that. You know, but it is important that people get... I mean, I do hope the Obama, how he's tied into it, or his administration, I mean, it's hard to say how personally he's involved with it. We could theorize about that. But, I mean, it is important that how the government on a federal level get talked about more and more, because it sort of shows us how much the government isn't for the people. The government is basically a mechanism to service the elite. It always has. You know, I mean, the elite get huge tax credits, huge subsidies, and, you know, and records are coming out. I'm sorry.
The Occupy groups in Washington, D.C., have been doing a really pretty spectacular job of sending designated or targeted groups into meetings of political appointments and stuff that's going on in Washington right now, and have them show up and start, you know, calling out, like, the CEO of they called out the CEO of one of the corporate industries being, you know, put into a some kind of it happened yesterday.
Yeah, it was a Chamber of Commerce. It was a U.S. Chamber of Conference talk. I can't recall what company it was or the CEO's name, but I recall the incident.
Here's what happened. We're targeted by the Occupy group. sending in people to begin to read a prepared statement that exposes the, you know, egregious deed and profiteering of the corporate head that they are about to, you know, put into government service or government backing. And that brings attention, and that's got to be bringing news. I mean, you know, more than just...
I think that helps. I think that definitely helps. And there's some great documentaries that people should expose themselves to, like Michael Moore's, you know, Capitalist, A Love Story. I would strongly recommend the films of Jamie Johnson, who is part of the 1%. He's heir to the Johnson and Johnson family and made the film Born Rich.
Right.
The 1%.
That was just on current television, wasn't it?
I believe so. I mean, people,
yeah.
I mean, the 1%, it's not that they're evil, they're just way out of touch. You know, and when you have that much money, you tend to be mentally imbalanced. You know, when you have $50 million worth of wealth, or $50 billion, you develop a mentality you can't have enough. You're scared to let go of it. And almost a sociopathic behavior evolves.
You have a more tolerant behavior ideal for them than I do. I see the board members of the Vatican Bank and Royal Bloodline Europe as the largest 1% on this planet, has been for a very, very long time. I think they're very well aware of the hardship, the definitely of death, and also too, there are more and more wars, profit more and more, and destroy the planet more and more. I mean, it's a great grind that goes on consistently. This isn't a conspiracy theory. This is just how things have worked. This has been the mechanism of
money. It's how the system works. Yeah, there's very strong institutions that are hard to tear apart. I mean, if you're a CEO of an oil company, your goal is to make sure you consistently have great short-term profits, and that's why consistently making sure a lot of your product oil gets to market. So worrying about global warming, global climate change is the last thing on your mind, and if anything, you want to discredit the science so your product can keep on coming out, because you have to keep the valuation of your stock high for institutional investors, be it the big banks and hedge funds. So it all sort of ties together. I mean, the CEOs are in a trap, whether they realize it or not.
Now, here's the point of Occupy now. They began with, you know, even out of Adbusters. And October 2011, the Washington-based group with Dr. Flowers, and one of the best video chroniclers that I know of is with out of that crowd and is in and out of all the occupiers. He's in New York now, I believe.
Right.
That's Dennis, who does his YouTube channel is known for that. He really needs money to keep going and keep chronicling all of this. He's doing an absolute job. And if anybody out there listening hear this, please go over to YouTube or to Dennis Traynor Jr. on Facebook and give what you can to him because he's doing a fabulous job. do you know of has the Fort Lauderdale this has Fort Lauderdale group created kind of projects in order to is there a tomorrow? Are they following the Occupy Wall Street Bank, Invade the Banks Day project or anything like that? I haven't seen.
I'm only tied to a number of the Occupy Wall. They have a number of projects going on that you can follow on OccupyFortLauderdale.org. It's only recently that they started an encampment. Three encampments that they've tried so far, they were kicked out. Bouvier Park, Wilton Manors, I forgot what the third one was. But the National Lawyers Guild helped them discovered that there's a loophole in the plot of land that's right next to City Hall in Fort Lauderdale. So they can occupy that 24 hours without worrying about any curfew. The thing is, the city is insisting that they can't set up any tents or anything like that. I think the lawyers are still checking it for loopholes, and in the meantime, they're just occupying it by taking shifts, which is what Occupy Wall Street's going to start doing since their encampment's been destroyed, which is a tragic shame.
Yes, yes.
So,
yeah.
So I have to drop by there. One of the most active activists with the group is a guy from Estonia, who's was an activist in his former country, and he has some very interesting stories to tell. It's a very good group of people. Yeah, I found them on the whole a bit older than the group in Occupy Miami. The General Assemblies are very different. But then again, once you have an encampment, the General Assemblies tend to be different. And a good portion of the General Assembly time is spent talking about issues of just dealing with one another and getting along and making decisions by a horizontal democracy.
Your
group's kind of like that too?
The older crowd does not understand the consensus formula either. It's very hard. They don't get it.
I think it's pretty straightforward. But, yeah, I mean, the older crowd, it does come across more like infighting when it's not. I mean, there's actual decision-making being done, and decisions get made. The Occupy Fort Lauderdale GAs are more in terms of planning of events and so forth and protests. I believe they had a city hall protest today. I hope my message got out to a few people there because I wasn't able to go. Alan West and Herman Cain were at Wings Plus in Coral Springs, and I was trying to urge some people to go. And one guy said, I'm definitely going to go and speak my mind. Hopefully he didn't get dragged away in handcuffs. But
so Alan West has been able to achieve that in Broward County. For some reason, he had Nicole Sandler arrested. Our group actually attended one of his waited outside for one of his speeches in West Palm Beach, and no one was arrested, and they were able to speak their minds at the end of the meeting as Mr. West was leaving, but of course he dodged everything.
Yeah. Alan West is the new Republican, which is basically the cartoon character fascist, you know, which is what the Republican debates have become, really a sort of bizarre reality show. I mean,
friends in Europe and
Australia, I mean, they're astonished by what they watch when they watch. Yeah, they think us Americans have gone totally crazy when they watched our debates. It just, you know, of course, I think we've gone totally crazy, too.
I've read commentary from Western Europeans that seem to think that the level of intelligence in America has dropped severely, and they think that the majority of people must be awfully poor or have, you know, very little education over here because wounds like these guys. Especially with McCain-Palin, that's
going to that's definitely a big part of it. A bigger part of it is the fact that the Republicans are so deeply entrenched in corporate America. I mean, they're so bought by corporate America that their policies represent 0.1% of the population, and you can't really talk about your policies. You know, that my main purpose is to present a policy that's going to benefit a very small percentage of the population and screw the rest of you. So they have to instead do a show and cater to the religious Christian right, cater to the gun-owning crowd that's paranoid, and so forth. And it really does come across as performance theater. You know, and that's why the Republican debates just seem to be in this weird sort of bubble reality. Divorced from everything else, what's going on? you know, government interferes. You know, pollution control regulations are destroying jobs. I mean, the whole list is just one insane talking point which have no logic to it, and there's a crowd of people willing to buy it. You know, the sad thing is it attracts the lowest common denominator of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
They're not attracting the most, you know, but they need voters. I mean, you know, you have to still get voters. I mean, so there you go. You know, they have to appeal to the most unattractive members of our society to get voters. Whereas, you know, the moderate Republicans are now Democrats. It's kind of sad. You know,
I hear you.
I mean, you know, what's moderating the Democrats is the fact that they still get a portion of their funds from unions. Now, the Republicans have been doing everything they can, of course, as we know, to hurt collective bargaining and so forth, to destroy the ability of unions to get those funds to the Democrats. If they destroy it all together, then at some point, 100% of the money that's going to the Democratic Party is going to come from corporate interest. And at that point, you're not going to be able to tell much difference between the two parties, except for some elementary political ideology. So you're going to end up with a fascist light party, fascist heavy party. Not attractive. So the Occupy movement couldn't have occurred at a better time, because it has to stop.
Yeah. And the Occupy movement is making the longer, I think, that too, the MSM rails at them for not having a cult of personality to lead them, or have a set of demands or a political defining. As long as they keep that up, the Occupy movement gets stronger, and they begin to look more and more like buffoons sitting behind desks and looking at cameras, saying they don't really know what the hell's going on. I saw that this morning with CNN with their morning show. And over at MSNBC, too. I'm surprised at some of their people, at the straws at which they are grasping to make some kind of, you know, consistent conversation about Occupy, because they're just totally befuddled.
Yeah.
And it seems to...
Well, I mean, the elite know full well what the Occupy movement is about.
I'm sorry?
The elite know full well what Occupy is about.
Oh, yes.
But obviously they want to present to the public, you know, that it's a confused message and it's not clear. They should have stated goals. But if you go back, I mean, the Tea Party came across that way too. Came across as a rather nasty racist movement, actually, in the minds of many liberals. Didn't seem to have a very clear message, with the exception of small government. We want a small government or limited government. But if you want to take that message out, then the message is corporate greed and fairness and accountability was the messages of Occupy Wall Street. I'm sorry, Gwen.
It was the party movement, large by and large, AstroTurf. You know, Dick Armey and that crowd who bussed people in who had, you know, who were stoked up for whatever event. I mean, that's the group that kept showing up with sidearms plastered to their
The very first Tea Party events were advertised by, and I mean advertised, were advertised online by Americans for Prosperity, which is an organization run primarily by the Koch brothers. No, Dick Armey is Freedom Works. He came in shortly thereafter. But a similar organization, Americans for Prosperity, that's run by Tim Phillips. Both of them have a history of being scumbags. So I mean, Tim Phillips is basically a Republican PR guy. It's been in the business for a long, long time before Americans for Prosperity. I mean, he would do things, for example, regarding how some of our corporate interests exploit workers in countries like Malaysia and so forth. He would mollify people with a PR campaign saying that, well, basically we're bringing these people the Bible, Christianity, and so forth, and people step back and, oh, it's okay then. But, I mean, so Tim Phillips is an old hand at PR. What's that?
Well, we still have the right to vote in this country. Well, we have the right to vote for someone like, say, Alan Grayson. We've got to do it because real message to both political parties
there has to be fundamental changes. Even the best, even the most progressive of our people, unfortunately, they completely have to give away on some issue. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to run an office. It still takes money. You still have to buy the TV commercials, send out the direct mailer pieces, and so forth. It takes a lot of money. So even the rest of the money, for example, Bernie Sanders is extremely progressive, but when you ask him about foreign affairs and the war in Iraq and so forth, he sort of hedges and stuff like that because he's probably getting funds from the military-industrial complex. Both Anthony Weiner and Alan Grayson, both very progressive people, received money from AIPAC. So when it came to how Israel was treating the Palestinians, they totally favored on that issue, but they're very progressive on everything else. We have to get the corruption out of the system. Otherwise, we're always going to be stuck in this trap. Well, you're going to have good people that are going to have to, like, play clueless on a particular issue to satisfy somebody that they need.
What is your suggestion there? I mean, what do you see as a breakaway point and yet still, you know, have the sovereignty of American, you know, citizenry and government?
No, I think we really need to make lobbying illegal.
It still goes down to voting.
You know, I mean, lately, I'm having a mental block on his last name, the lobbyist that ended up in jail for 3 years for a huge scandal. You don't recall who I'm talking about.
I do.
But anyway, the news sort of focused more on him rather than his message, and I thought his message was quite good. I mean, here's a lobbyist that was very corrupt. They captured a lot of his emails and saw the corruption in it. He ended up in jail for 3 years. Jack Abramoff. Thank you very much. But I mean, he got caught. There's still a couple thousand Jack Abramoffs in Washington, D.C., and they spend about $3.3 to $4 billion a year whining and dining politicians. How you can spend billions of dollars a year whining and dining, I don't know. It must be very fancy dinner.
And this is what is one of the reasons that Occupy has become what it has. But what will actually cause the shift? What is the paradigm zenith? What is that going to be? There are a lot of people that are thinking right now and discussing the idea that it comes onto, you know, against kind of thing, and that's just, I don't see that working out.
What's that? What don't you see? I didn't hear you.
What has is peaceful, you know, nonviolent movement. That does work. If you're overwhelmed.
Oh, yes. I believe it. No, I definitely believe a peaceful, it doesn't have to turn into a revolution. The last thing you want it to do is turn into that, because it'll be a bloodbath. There's a very exceptional study and book put out by a guy by the name of Gene Sharp, which I strongly recommend for everybody. It's called From Dictatorship to Democracy, with the whole point of how to topple a government by peaceful means. There are portions of the government you have to topple, take down. And you do that by growing your movement, by making sure you keep it as peaceful as possible, by convincing authorities, like the police, that they're on your side. And when you do that, you've won. Right? So if you convince all the cops that they truly are part of 99%, the 99, you know, they've been doing it from the get-go, which tells me that a couple copies of Gene Sharp's book has been lying around. His book is like a manifesto. It's only 90 pages long. Do you remember a couple of years ago in Iran when there was an uprising in the streets and that girl Rita was shot, and this was after Ahmadinejad?
Alu Akbar,
Basically, Iran was accusing the CIA of somehow stirring it up. That was a false accusation. But why did Iran make that accusation? They made that accusation because they found copies of Gene Sharp's book with a number of the most active protesters. And that clued them in. They falsely accused Gene Sharp as being part of the CIA, which he isn't. But some copies of Gene Sharp's book were found among some of the activists in Egypt.
I think the party in Iran is growing. I think that they're growing even bigger with all of the politics between America and Iran recently. I think there's a swelling of their group. They're looking for their way out again. They're looking for a way to come up.
I mean, the police have got to realize, what are you going to do, turn your guns on your own people that you're supposed to protect?
They do it. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you're the rich are screwing you guys too. They're destroying your pension.
Yeah.
They're going to destroy your retirement. They're going to cut your health care benefits too. You're in the crowd with the rest of us. You know, and it's and that message is starting to take hold. There was a police officer that was interviewed with I can't remember if it was Occupy Wall Street or Occupy Philadelphia. But I was interviewed by one of Amy Goodman's crew on Democracy Now! This morning that stated just that. Hopefully more will follow through. Usually it only takes a few to start. You know, and when you look at what happened in other countries, I mean, typically what happens is the government tries to police, and then the government takes out the military, and if the military cannot turn the guns on its own people, dictator is dead. The dictator has to, the government topples, right?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking right now of Syria. You know, Assad has now been announced by the Arab League. Is that going to bring him down?
And it's hard to say what's going to happen in Syria. There may even be a motivation. I came across one story in which it was suggested the Syrian army destroyed an Air Force intelligence complex that we had over there by their border. So we may even use that as an excuse to get in there, which would be a tragic thing to do, obviously. The military-industrial complex, you know, just keeps on raging on. Hopefully the people can hold out.
Bringing it back around. Bringing it back around to, because we're almost off the air now, Brian. I want to thank you for coming on and taking part
of
the discussion and bringing up such a great discussion in the chat room, by the way, too. I would like to ask you what you think, how you think the information is going to become more consistent in greater, like, onto the mainstream media about the involvement of the FBI and Homeland Security, or do you think people will just say, well, that makes sense, and just blithely go on their way?
I think the mainstream media is going to be as quiet about it as possible until it's a story that has to go out. Until it's advantageous to bash Obama in the mainstream media, then they'll let that go out. You know, I mean, what are the reasons, what's the motivation for Obama to play some role in it? And it's hard to say whether he was approached and talked it and he just acknowledged and said, okay, do what you have to do, or he actually gave an order. I mean, who knows? We won't know for years what actually is going on in that crew. But, I mean, when you're a politician and you have a people rising up that are kind of against you, you tend to get defensive, and that could be part of why the White House did what it did. Because when the Occupy people are polled, 70% of them are not happy with him. They do not like him.
Because he's right wing.
You know, because he's been so right wing. Yes, you have a Ron Paul population among the Occupy movement, but the majority of that 70%, not Ron Paul, left wing people that are unhappy with somebody they elected. So it's, you know, they see the whole system as completely corrupt, which it is. And they're not happy with Obama either. So there's no, you know, effective way for Obama to co-opt the movement. He can sort of just acknowledge it and secretly try to break it apart.
Oh, well, you know, what's really wonderful about this is that it really is an adventure. Sticking to your guns and remaining with the Occupy movement. Ooh.
Sorry about that.
Airport. Jeez.
I don't know. Somebody driving on the road was using their horn. But anyway.
Oh. Okay. Well, listen. I will let you go. I've got to sign off now. I really appreciate you popping in and having this chat with me. We brought up a really great conversation, Brian. These are ideas and facts that people should be discussing and asking more and more questions about among ourselves and among even strangers. So, really, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Well, I look forward to the next time. You have a good night, bud.
Hey. Yeah. Right. Hey, you know our number. Drop on in, okay?
I will. Bye-bye.
Okay. I will speak with you again soon then. Thank you, sir. And that was Brian Stetton. And we've come to the conclusion of our hour. I want to thank the chat room for such a lively conversation in chat. And I want to encourage you folks on Sunday this week or Saturday, I don't know if that, I think that's Pete Nolan's day, Trisha's day, but to come back and have this discussion, because you guys really did great in the whole thing. I'm sorry I didn't get more information out there. I want to remind everybody that this is a boycott of the mainstream media liars and or corporate messengers. And, you know, we're not a whoop-de-doo show here. We're just sort of an honest discussion group. We're supporting Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Palm Beach and Occupy Fort Lauderdale and reminding you all that tomorrow is a day of action decreed by the Occupy Wall Street group. And if you can, it's a day of civil disobedience to get out there and into the banks and to make yourselves known as displeased with the corporate oligarchy that has its stranglehold on your money, your lifestyle, and your children's, too. So I really thank everybody for tuning in. Tomorrow you will have Dusty Taylor taking a day for me, and she is from Roundtree 7 also and leftwingnutjob.net, and she will be bringing you the latest news about Occupy Wall Street, Occupy across America and the globe, and she will also have her own issues to bring to the conversation. So tomorrow is Dusty Taylor. On Friday, Cherie Foytlin and her group will be here to talk about all of the things that are going on the Gulf of Mexico situation. There's been some, pardon me, there's been some real events that have occurred in the southeast of this country in the last week. So please join us with Cherie Foytlin and Drew Lantree
and all of the crowd from Impact Project, Golf Impact, and Sheree Voigtland's group. So I thank you once again. This has been Here Be Monsters. We are sponsored by Roundtree7, the number 7.com, Blogspot, and a handmade company, Daughters of Isis. Please join us every damn day that Occupy is going on out there. We'll be here doing our bit, our small bit, but our bit. So I thank y'all, and I'm going to leave you with not a song, but something from Oakland to keep the yang up.
That way.